Everybody, this is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
We are doing episode 7 GO5 this week. That is Bart the General. This was written by John Swartzwelder, who is the most prolific Simpsons episode writer. He wrote 59 of them, which is a lot. And his kind of influence is really strong on the show. His like love of old-timey stuff. You can see that in Mr. Burns especially.
It's true. I think he has a penchant for a lot of callbacks, especially to movies and literature, seem to show up a lot in his episodes.
Yeah, he's a kind of a mysterious figure. He refuses to be on the commentaries on the DVDs. I believe they called him one time while they were recording a commentary track just to verify that he actually exists. This is also directed by David Silverman, who's also a big name in the history of the show. This originally aired February 4th, 1990. This episode has no intro sequence, so no couch gag, no chalkboard gag. It was running long. Apparently, it was a little hectic behind the scenes, you want to say. David Silverman was also working on Bart the Genius at the same time. So I guess they couldn't hash it out to shorten it to make enough time to get the actual intro. Just cuts to a picture of their house. This episode is mainly a Bart episode. It starts with Lisa making cupcakes and Bart wanting them. And they have a little give and take, and she eventually gives him one that falls on the floor of the bus. But then they get to the schoolyard, and one of the lackeys of Nelson. This is the first appearance of Nelson, I believe, right?
Believe so.
Yeah.
Definitely this first appearance of him.
First appearance of Nelson, you get lackeys steal the cupcakes, Bart stands up to them, and that earns him the ire of Nelson.
Well, it's when he delivers his one of his most famous quotes, "You made me bleed my own blood."
Yes, and we actually have that quote, so here it is. You guys want to listen just a second.
Nelson, you're bleeding.
Nah, happens all the time. Somebody else's blood splatters on me. Hey, wait a minute. You're right. You made me bleed my own blood.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite quotes from the early years. Nelson is astounded to believe that he's bleeding his own blood. Bart gets a lucky hit on him. And then they want to see him after school. Principal Skinner is pretty much okay with that.
He says, "Oh no, run along. He'll get you after school."
Yes, he will, young man.
Completely oblivious, like most authority figures in elementary schools.
He ends up fighting him after school. It's a pretty vicious sequence, a point of view. You get basically Nelson's point of view, where he just pounds on Bart's face. 20 seconds or so?
Yeah, I know. I didn't have a face that was quite that elastic or considered that kind of punishment. So Bart should be applauded for his endurance.
Yeah, he gets the crap beaten out of him. He goes home. He looks really rough. Everyone's like wondering what's wrong with him. He goes into the bathroom in the bathtub. Homer goes in there asking what's wrong. Bart starts crying. This is kind of, we see the little bit of the relationship between those two is, and Homer, tells him to stop crying, blow dries his face, and he tries to teach him how to fight.
Teaches him the old Simpson tricks, throw mud in his eye, kick him when he's down, and go right for the family jewels.
The family jewels. And, so Bart goes back to school the next day and tries to use these techniques. They do not work. Gets the crap beaten out of him again and gets thrown into a trash can and then rolled down the street. Which is, that is another one of my little classic bit is when Lisa's sitting on the curb outside the house and he rolls up in a trash can, like falls out of it and then coughs up his hat.
His lucky red hat.
Lucky red hat. Yeah, that's not so lucky. Homer's tactics haven't worked. Lisa suggests that he goes to Grandpa and ask if Grandpa can help him defeat Nelson.
That actually leads to one of my favorite quotes in the episode when Lisa says, "He's the toughest Simpson alive. Remember the fight he put up when we put him in the home?"
Yes, exactly. So he goes home, Bart goes to visit him in the home, and Grandpa ends up taking him to see Herman, the owner of the pawn and military...
Well, military surplus store.
Grandpa gets his fez later on in the series from this store. There's also a Pulp Fiction gag in there, I think, in the 22 short stories about Springfield episode as well.
Yep, that's where Snake and Police Chief can get tied up and beaten, a la Bruce Willis and the Crime Boss. It's a great one.
Ving Rhames.
That's the one.
Ving Rhames. And Milhouse whacks Herman in the face with a mace. In that episode. But Herman and Grandpa like devise this military scheme to take down Nelson. And it's quite wonderful.
It's a classic pincer movement. It can't fail against a 10-year-old.
Yes, it's obvious that these two old men have these military dreams, and they are just reliving them through these children. Bart recruits pretty much the entire neighborhood of children to fight Nelson. He promises them victory after they start running away.
And good times. Don't forget good times.
And good times. And then after this, there's a long training montage, kind of combination homage to Patton and Full Metal Jacket. Really, really great. I think this is really kind of important because the show makes tons of references to pop culture, but I think what even is more important about the show is that it matches these shows thematically and shows stylistically. It will match the, camera shot for shot from different movies and using the same sound as well. The soundtrack is heavily influenced from Patton, and there's, the drill march sequence from Full Metal Jacket with the drill sergeant Bart yelling out the rhymes to the kids as they march.
This is really the first episode that relies heavily on homages to other sources of content, especially pop culture, that sort of thing. Other ones, it's really the first episode that relies really heavily on them for its basic theme. And one of the nice things about these particular episodes, like you said, they fit in thematically. Whereas modern shows, not to name names, Family Guy, just cut away to things rather than having them fit into the episode for any particular reason.
Yeah, exactly. And this is also kind of a cutting condemnation about the military, honestly, because we get, there's a scene where, one of the kids is downbeat and Bart goes up to him and slaps him and tells him to get back, get his mind right, basically. And Grandpa, stops him. And what does he say?
You can push them out of a plane. You can march them off a cliff. You can send them off to die on some godforsaken rock. But for some reason, you can't slap them.
Yes. And makes Bart apologize to the child. And I think that that's really interesting, really great criticism of the military and all that and from the show. And it's only in fifth episode is really, really neat. Seeing something so incisive so early on in the show. And you can know that they had an idea. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of people when the show first aired thought it would just be stupid, crude humor. And then here in the fifth episode, like you said, they have this biting social commentary that no one was really expecting.
They, plan this military action against Nelson and they basically are going to bombard him with water balloons. And, they say happy birthday. Instead, when Herman wished they would say death from above. And we actually have a little clip from that, so here it is.
We got the water balloon.
200 rounds, sir. Is it okay if they say happy birthday on the side?
Well, I'd rather they say death from above, but I guess we're stuck.
And so they enact their plan, and they corner Nelson and basically hit him and his lackeys with water balloons and then beat him until they surrender. Bart ties up Nelson and puts him in in our red wagons. And they eventually draw up terms of surrender, kind of a treaty where that gives Nelson he retains a figurehead of menace in the neighborhood, but he can't bully people anymore, which is really interesting workaround to get him, let him be still this, older bully figure without him actually going after the other kids.
Yeah, because really there's nothing keeping him from actually doing that. I think they just wanted to move the character in a different direction.
Yeah, and from then on, he kind of basically makes fun of the adults.
Yeah, it's true. Instead of beating up on other kids, he turns into, I think, essentially what people were afraid Bart would be. That he uses the adults as a target rather than the other kids, and people thought, oh, that's what Bart's going to be. He's going to make fun of stupid adults the entire time.
Yeah, but they at least move the character in a direction that so that he's not, you know, stagnant necessarily. This episode has a lot of really interesting things in it. There's a disclaimer, you know, where Bart, he's addressing the viewer directly, breaks the fourth wall. And that's another, like, a kind of important thing, especially in only the fifth episode. Like, there's the run-up time for these is so long. They could not have known what the reaction was going to be in that first four episodes. And, you know, Bart talks about how war is terrible and there are no winners, only losers. There's only three good wars?
Three good wars. The American Revolution, World War II, and the Star Wars trilogy.
The original Star Wars trilogy.
Yes, original yeah. only.
Yes. And that's really interesting that it's treating this as, like, almost as they are actors. Not necessarily, like, we're not watching them, their lives, we're watching them portray something. Which they mess around with that idea a lot later on in the show. But seeing it so early in the fifth episode is really interesting.
Yeah, it's funny, they pick it up here, and then you see it in little pieces here and there, but not really that much until you get to Behind the Laughter. And I think it was the seventh or eighth season, and that's when they really put it to the test.
Yeah, and you've seen a lot in the Treehouse of Horror episodes as well, the Halloween episodes. But that's, I mean, they're unique in their own way anyway.
They're not canon.
Yeah, exactly. But they play around with that. There's a great sequence with, we didn't really talk about, but Grandpa, when they were first introduced to Grandpa proper, he's writing a letter.
To the editor, of course.
To the editor, and he's complaining about language, about how old people are portrayed on television.
Yeah, apparently, I didn't know this, but old people are not vibrant, fun-loving sex maniacs. Who would have guessed?
And the words, and he mentions the words that he doesn't want to hear on television anymore.
Yeah, it's funny. I've watched this episode close to a dozen times now, and I always got horny in Family Jewels, but the first word I thought was bra. It turned out it is raw, R-A-W.
Really?
That's what my little guidebook here says.
Oh, I thought it was bra. I don't know. Either way. But it's funny that he says Family Jewels, right after it's been used in an episode, it's already heavily self-referential this early on. The animation is noticeably improved on this episode. You can really see it in that Full Metal Jacket /Patton kind of war training montage sequence. It's really, you know, you get the nice rhythm of them, you know, doing the drills and, you know, running through obstacle courses and all that.
That's true. And one thing that they used very prominently in this episode is a dream sequence. And throughout the first, I'd probably say 8 or 9 seasons, dream sequences were used fairly frequently. I mean, at least once or twice a season. But that's since dropped off considerably. I think that may have lost something with those being
there's a lot of things that you see more in the earlier seasons. And that's funny because 8 and 9 are the early seasons now because there's been so many. But and it's going to be interesting. I think eventually get there. It's going to take us a long time, but that's a topic of discussion that, you know, there's a lot of stuff in these. And I think that this show is still really establishing itself. When I rewatched this one, I haven't seen it in a while. It really surprised me about it. It kind of carries that feel of even like a season 2 or 3 or 4 episode. It really has it's tight. It knows what it's doing. It knows what it wants to do.
Yeah, there's no wandering in terms of the storyline. Everything, like you said, is very tight. Each scene plays out one to the next without a whole lot of cruft or, you know, and there's no B story at all. It's just all in service of one story.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you get the first kind of a Bart-Grandpa interaction, and it's interesting that it's a Bart-Grandpa kind of military interaction because there's the Hellfish episode is kind of the same idea, them going on this military adventure almost.
Yeah, that's one of the things that it really becomes to define Grandpa's character in later seasons. You've got the abandonment and the fact that he fought in the war.
Yeah,
that's really
exactly
all they go with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and he was a terrible, neglectful father.
Yes. The character of Herman, we get the first appearance of him. He was actually supposedly going to be in this show a lot more often. And every time he appeared, he was going to have a different reason for why his arm was missing.
That would have been a great gag. I really wish he had been in the show more, because he's a really hilarious character.
Yeah, he's a very interesting, kind of a weird character. He only appears a few more times here and there. Not really notable for many appearances. There is the callback to, I believe, I think it's Homer's Odyssey, where Bart is in the school bus and they say, don't stick your arm out the window, because some guy got his arm knocked off, and that's the reason Herman mentions in this episode. So maybe Herman is that faithful guy who got his arm knocked off from the school bus.
That, or he's just screwing around with Bart, which would be funnier too.
That is also very true. I really like this episode. I really think that this is a really solid one. You guys who aren't, you know, watching along every episode with us, definitely make time for this one. This is a really solid first season episode.
It's really a solid Simpsons episode overall. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, these type of episodes, I have to say, are my favorite. I like the family episodes. I like the guest star focused episodes, but the ones that do a callback to some sort of popular culture theme and work it into the narrative so seamlessly, it seems like something that's extremely hard to do, and they pull it off with aplomb.
Yeah, I cannot say it better myself. Bravo, Matt. We're going to move on to our listener answers, to our listener question of the week. Last week it was, who is your favorite guest star? And I purposely left that vague, and I think that's part of the discussion is what considers a guest star. But I've got I'm loving the response. You guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. We got Cody from Twitter, Commander Cody 83. Anyone from Homer at the Bat? And Roger Wong agrees with him. MLB players from Homer the Bat. When I see Mattingly manage the Dodgers, I laugh and think of Burns making him shave his sideburns. And as an early childhood, you know, I love baseball. That was one of my favorite episodes. Adam at Adaminich loved hearing Johnny Cash playing the Talking Coyote in the Mysterious Voyage of Homer. I'm not going to try and say it in Spanish. If they're going to have Johnny Cash in The Simpsons, that was the role for him. We got both Nicholas, that's at Hevesy, Easy, Albert Brooks as Hank Scorpio, Jaron at Pot on My Head, Albert Brooks as Hank Scorpio, really fits in well. Caroline at Karolinski, my favorite guest star was George Harrison, Brownies, what a nice fellow. Then Thomas on Facebook, again, giving us a chunky answer. There's only one answer, Phil Hartman. No single voice actor contributed more to the series. You could argue that Marshall Wallace brought us Mrs. Krabappel, but that is nothing compared to Hartman's countless voices. Troy McClure, Lionel Hutz, Lyle Landley, countless other one-offs. His impact on the series make it a shame that he was only a guest actor. Even then, he's crucial to early season's biggest successes. Well, him and Albert Brooks. I mentioned this to you, Matt, and you had thought maybe that Phil Hartman doesn't count, that he appears too often to be counted as a guest star.
Well, that's kind of what I think when I think of guest star. I think of someone who was there for one, maybe two episodes. The problem with someone like Phil Hartman is he had established characters that appeared in more than one episode. I mean, I guess I would consider him a guest star for Lyle Landley, but for Troy McClure and Lionel Hutz, those were, I mean, it's like Police Chief Wiggum. You wouldn't consider, Hank Azaria or Dan Castellaneta guest stars.
That's true. But to be fair, he didn't play any character like in every episode. You know, Hank Azaria is always there. Dan Castellaneta's in every episode. He was in 52 episodes. It's kind of on the border, but he is, I don't know if you'd call him a regular on the show either. You wouldn't call him a regular voice actor. He's in 52 episodes.
That's true. I guess if you can consider Marshall Wallace a guest star, you have to consider Phil Hartman a guest star.
And I think it also works because he was famous for not being, he wasn't famous for The Simpsons. He was famous for Saturday Night Live and all his acting and, you know, his comedy.
Don't forget News Radio.
And News Radio. He appeared on other stuff and he's more famous for that. And then he also appeared on The Simpsons and did very well. Me, I have to go with Albert Brooks as Hank Scorpio. That is, Albert Brooks on his few select appearances on the show were all amazing. Hank Scorpio is such a crazy character that he makes it work in this universe, and the amount of improvisation that he's done, it's really impressive.
It's true. It's funny. Do you know Hank Scorpio was originally supposed to be the villain for the Simpsons movie, and then they changed it? That would have been a fantastic movie. I mean, I feel the Simpsons movie was pretty good, but Hank Scorpio involved, it would have been a million times better.
Yeah, it was really good. Your answer?
I would have to go with David Hyde Pierce, because I really enjoy Kelsey Grammer as Sideshow Bob. I feel like he's the perfect evil, smart person, and just having the interactions he had with David Hyde Pierce from Frasier and basically bringing that to a couple of feuding petty brothers in The Simpsons actually worked out pretty well.
Yeah, that was a very good episode. It was really interesting to see Sideshow Bob not play the villain, I think, and it was an interesting take, him trying to not be a bad guy. And just his brother.
It was almost comic book esque how he tried to be a good guy, but he got sucked back into that that underworld, and then comes right back out as a villain again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this you guys really love your responses this week. Next week, our listener question is: what is your favorite brand from The Simpsons? There's Squishy, there's Krusty Burger, there's Malibu Stacy, there's Duff Beer, numerous ones, Lard Lad Donuts. What is your favorite and why? You can tweet at us at Simpsons Show Pod, and we're also on Facebook. All the links can be found on our website. We're going to end the week with the way we end every week's episode, is with a segment we call Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them. Chronologically, our top episode right now is There's No Disgrace Like Home, and our bottom episode is Homer's Odyssey, which will probably be there for a while. But this one for me is top of the list. It's the tightest, most concise episode yet, and it kind of has the feel of a later episode, the ones in, you know, season 2, 3, 4, when everyone raves about.
I would have to agree. I know we had some disagreement on this earlier, but you've definitely brought me around to this one being far better than Bart the Genius or No Disgrace Like Home. It, like you said, it has the feel of a later episode, and it really brings home the cleverness at inserting, you know, references and applicable cliches to an animated sitcom.
Yeah, absolutely. Great episode. Guys, watch it if you haven't watched it yet. It's really good. And with that, it'll bring us to a close. Like I said, you can find us on Twitter, on Facebook. If you like the show, please leave us good reviews. Give us a good rating on iTunes. It really helps us out. We really appreciate everyone who takes the time to do that. And with that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons!